Hello and welcome to the Overly Animated Podcast, where we take animation seriously. We talk everything animation here, including Voltron, the Legendary Defender, and that's what we're getting into today. I'm Justin Cummings, and today I'm joined by Haley Neighbors.
Hello.
Today, Haley and I will be talking about episodes 5 and 6 of Season 3, known as The Journey and Tailing the Comet. We were going to be joined by Delaney Stovall, but we found out, due to me not keeping my Skype open enough, that she will not be here, and I found this out about 10 seconds ago. So, we're a bit short-staffed tonight, but I think we have plenty to talk about, and this should still be a very interesting discussion, I think, Haley?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Lots of theories will be brewing.
All the theories tonight, so or whatever time you're listening to this. So you can find more about this podcast at overlyanimated.com. You can search for us on iTunes. Just search Overly Animated there or your favorite podcatcher. So these were some really interesting episodes. Like, I was really hype on episode 4, but I think 5 was better. What are your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think these were really cool episodes, and they had a lot of interesting plot things, but also good kind of character moments and stuff. And I think they're really propelling us forward, and I'm really excited to see what the finale and the rest of the season after that comes from it, because they were setting up some really interesting new kind of storylines and things that I hope they would get into, and it seems like they actually are.
Yeah, we're going some really interesting directions here. I remember, because my girlfriend kind of keeps up on the show, and she knew Shiro was missing, and I'm like, oh, they found Shiro! Now there's leader angst! And we're just both like, yay, leader angst! It's the best angst! And so I'm glad we got into that. Like, I want more of that. I think we're going to get that.
I think so,
And we'll get into theories later. I have a feeling about that. I have a couple theories about the comet ship that we'll get into, but The comet is Pink Diamond, but but before we get into that, everything is Pink Diamond.
Yeah,
before we get into that, let's talk about the journey. So, I didn't realize that was Shiro at first. Like, I knew it looked like Shiro, but I thought it was a clone or something because I'm on Young Justice mode still.
I know. At first I was like, that's his hair, but for some reason I was like, oh, it's like an old guy with white hair, and it's like, oh, no, never mind. Not him.
Yeah, for some reason at first I thought it was Matt, like Pidge's brother, and then when they cut to Shiro, I didn't realize that was like him having like a mental flashback. I thought he was like seeing Shiro, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's like trapped with Shiro, and like, because the episode description was really vague, and I like that they kept it so vague, of just two rebel fighters interfere with one of the paladins. And
I had no clue what was coming.
I thought
that.
This was one of the rebel fighters at first. And I'm same. That's our Shiro.
I know, I wasn't expecting, I did expect him to come back. And even before season 3 started, I thought that. And then also because in the opening credits, they didn't take him out, which I thought was odd if he wasn't going to come back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then it was really interesting seeing him like this, because I thought he was going to come back in some sort of like more mystical Black Lion way, and it would be a big process to get him back and everything. But this was just like, oh, okay, Shiro's back, but maybe not. I don't know. And yeah, it was crazy.
This was Zuko alone.
Like, yeah, pretty much.
I feel like the pattern continues of Zuko alone. Was it actually called Korra alone, or am I mistaking the episode?
Yeah, it was.
Had Zuko alone, Korra alone, and this was basically just Shiro alone.
Oh, if only they had named it that.
Oh, if they had, I would have cried, because it would have been this perfect, because all the articles, like someone, I don't care if it's me, Sam, you, Delaney, Dylan, anyone, someone needs to write an article about this trilogy of episodes, and just the evolution, because it's so good. But yeah, no, I thought this was a really solid episode. What do you think of the rebels?
I thought they were cool. I don't know if we're going to see them again. I thought it was funny how at the very end they had that like 10-second clip where they're just eating their food and happy and everything. I thought that was
like
weird.
Slurping on ramen. Like, I love that.
Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, okay, we're back to them. But I thought they were neat. They were good. I guess it's kind of like a way of seeing what the I guess, on the ground is, or life is like with the rebels, because we've been hearing them talk about how there's this rebel group that's kind of going against the Galra and everything, and we haven't really seen them too much. So this was neat seeing what's happening. I wonder if we'll see them again, probably, just because why not, but I don't know. We'll see.
Have you seen Avengers? Like the first
yes.
film?
Yeah.
That scene at the end where they're just slurping on ramen reminded me so much of the shawarma scene.
Yeah, it was like an after credit scene.
It's like everything's over and they're just eating. And it's silent.
Yep.
And it's beautiful.
I'm wondering, I'm a little concerned for them because that was their only ship. So
I think
now what?
I think we're going to see them again. I think we're going to just be in an episode. It's going to be like a Calm Before the Storm kind of episode. And Hashiro's going to be like, oh, we have to take care of something. And he goes back to pick them up.
Yeah, that'd be good. Like I've got my contacts on the ice planet or something.
Yeah, I think if we see them again, that's where we're going.
Hmm. Yeah, they seem kind of like gag characters more than anything.
Yeah,
but they might actually have legitimate connection to the someone important.
But Slav hung around, and I thought he was a gag character. Don't kill me, Dylan, but I was not a Slav fan at first. He grew on me. But I think these guys should grow on me, too.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we see them again. But I'm glad they didn't eat Shiro. That would have been really sad.
Yeah, I know. I was confused by that. Do they just do that normally? I want to know more about all the, like, alien politics and everything of this universe. But I'm sure we'll get
into that.
We did a lot of that in these episodes.
God, I love Lotor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so scared of Lotor, though, and we can kind of talk about it at the end of the episode, because it's a spoiler, but it's not a spoiler. I want to talk about Lotor in the original series, so we'll wait till the end of the episode for that. But before we get there, so, yeah, what did you think, just Shiro's new look? It felt very Samurai Jack to me, of, like, suddenly older and more facial hair.
Yeah, I like the facial hair. I thought that was cool.
I miss it already.
I know. I like the long hair, too. I thought that was neat. And also the fact that, like, his one white streak continues to grow white as it gets longer, too. I thought that was funny. But I liked his look. It was neat. And I don't know what it was, but the whole time after he, like, got the buzz cut and was doing his thing in the other episode and everything, I kept thinking he looked a little different, but I don't know if I've just not seen him enough. Or that was just me, but I thought maybe it's his hair is shorter than it used to be kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but maybe that's what it was.
It's been so long since we've seen Shiro.
Yeah, I forgot what he looked like for some reason.
Like, the last time I watched an episode of Shiro was January, so...
Yeah, that must be it. And then also going from long hair to short hair was kind of drastic.
So,
I kind of wish he kept it.
What did you think of, I think my this might have been my favorite visual in the show so far, and it's the close-up when, towards the end of the episode, when Shiro's floating in space, and it's just a close-up of his helmet, and you see, like, the fog from his breath on the inside of the glass.
Yeah, that was good. I thought that whole scene was really, like, surprisingly touching when I saw it, because I didn't realize how invested I was in him and everything, and especially when you saw, like, Voltron going away and just the desperation of knowing that he'll never find it. Oh, it crushed me. I felt so bad for him. And also, how did he survive a week without eating or drinking anything?
He's part robot.
Yeah, true. I guess you don't have to worry about the biology of certain body parts, I suppose.
And it's possible there were, like, emergency rations in the ship a bit.
Yeah, probably.
You know, we... Mm-hmm. And also, I have to be Dylan here, because I know Dylan would say this. We don't know for certain that their day is 24 Earth hours.
It's very true. Very true.
I feel like someone has to say it, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, I was starting to wonder, I'm like, I really thought the episode was just going to end with Shiro's skeleton floating in a spaceship.
I know, I thought that would be... I had a moment, too, where I thought, oh, they're going to do all of this and, like, really gutsy move of just killing him off and then they'll find him, but...
Like, we are killing Shiro. Yeah. Like, the rumors were true. We got Sven. Yeah. Shiro's dead. Oh, my God, it's happening.
I know. Oh, that would have been so sad.
But just
so sad.
That scene of just the black lion facing down the ship was just... That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, continuing a really visually nice season, too.
Yeah,
this just even more beautiful scenes.
This has been my favorite season. Like, there's not been a bad episode yet. There's not been, in my mind, even a dull episode. The first half of episode 3 was a bit slow to me, but it picked up. Mm-hmm. But it's been
completely just, agree.
It's just been a really good season, and I'm sad it's almost over, but there's been so much in these 6 episodes that I'm like, yes, I need to take a break. Like, we need a breather. I don't mm-hmm. think,
and it's
like,
only for, like, not even a month, the breather, too.
That's what do you mean? It's a couple months.
Is it? I thought the October next season's 13th. Coming out in September.
October 13th.
I get that. I guess that is, like, 2 months, isn't it?
Yeah, from August 4th to October 13th. Yeah, it's, like, 2 months and a week. So it's,
yeah,
like,
basically.
It's, yeah, it's, like, alright, binge all the other shows. I think, isn't BoJack coming in September?
I don't know.
I think BoJack's in September, so it's so weird that, like, they bookend Voltron around BoJack.
Like, it's like they know.
Starting to wonder Netflix's release schedule, because it makes slightly more sense than Cartoon Network's, but not by much.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's trying to understand what they're doing sometimes, but yeah.
I don't think there's a way to understand it, honestly.
There is, and it's called One of Us Needs to Infiltrate the Upper Echelon of Netflix.
I'm down. We'll do it.
It'll be a 5-year undercover investigative journalism thing, and then our single blog entry on Netflix release schedules for 5-year-old shows will win us a Pulitzer, and it will be great.
I think so. I think so. Yep. Or we could wait 2 months and watch the next episode.
That's not enough! I need to know why! But, Yeah, after this podcast, I'm just going to go watch the finale and then the season 4 trailer immediately after that, because it's already out.
Oh, so same.
It's like the trailer came out, like, a day after season 3, so...
I know.
That's what makes me think they were definitely meant to be one season. But, Journey, really, really good episode. Anything else you want to talk about that episode before we get into Tale in the Comet?
No, I'm really... impressed. I think it was a really good episode of kind of showing us a storyline and a character arc and keeping up, like you were saying, that trend of like Zuko alone, Korra alone, everything. They're really good at taking a specific character and making you care even more for that character than you did at the beginning. And really kind of hammering home interesting characters and locations and adventures and all that jazz. So I was really impressed by the end of it. I was really surprised.
Should we talk about Hagar and the like spy she sends after Lotor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was a good kind of balance of the episode, I suppose, because they had that a little bit. And I had also wondered where Hagar went, because we hadn't seen her in a couple episodes. So it was neat seeing her there. And also how she's not... It seems to me that she doesn't not trust Lotor, but I think she's also used to having at least some degree of influence when his dad's in charge. So now she doesn't with Lotor. He's just off doing his own thing. So I wonder if she's probably trying to, you know, exert some influence over him by having him tracked and know what he's up to.
Right. I really liked... that's what I love with this episode, is, yeah, the paladins are cool and all, but right now my favorite part of the show is Lotor. And so the fact that we got a whole episode that, like, the A plot is Shiro getting back to the paladins, and the B plot is Lotor and politics was just fantastic. Like,
it really was.
I was stunned that we didn't see the paladins until, like, 20 minutes into the episode.
Mm-hmm. And even then, it was barely anything.
Yeah, it was basically to give the other perspective of a scene we were seeing. Like, that was it. It was only to establish where we were. And just that blew my mind that, you know, they were willing to do that. Because it was a risky episode. It's not... Because we haven't seen Shiro in so long.
Exactly. Yeah, to base a whole episode on him and then a little bit of Lotor political drama as well is... pretty gutsy, but I think it definitely worked out.
I think a less brave show would have had Shiro pop up at the end of episode 4 and then be like, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
While this show is just like, no, we know you're smart enough to figure out what's going on. Here's a really good episode. We'll figure it out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a testament to the show and just what they're willing to accomplish.
Yeah, totally.
So
I was wondering, I don't know if you remember this, mm-hmm. Justin, but when, at the very beginning, when Shiro first, like, starts to come to consciousness and everything, mm-hmm. he's looking over and there's an alien guy that's there and he calls him Ulaz, like he knows his name, but I have no idea who that character is. Did you recognize him at all, or?
I didn't really recognize him. Here's my thought. Because we have to talk about this, too. The mm-hmm. whole operation thing, I can't yeah. remember how they pronounced it, but...
Operation, it's Kuron? It's K-U-R-O-N, when I had the closed captioning on.
I think whoever that is, he's the person who, like, initiated the project on Shiro.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was Shiro just thinking he was back. But also, yeah, so I think, I don't think we've seen it before. I assume he has something to do with Operation Kurong. And then, is Shiro a sleeper agent now? Did they just Winter Soldier Shiro?
He's got the arm. He's got the arm! He's halfway there.
He's got the arm, he's got the hair, like...
I know, exactly. Yeah, it's the same character, but not really, but same kind of design. That was my thought, especially because we can talk about this, but in Tailing the Comet, you kind of get a hint at that when he's like, oh, I've got this weird headache that won't go away. So I think there's definitely more memories that he's forgotten, because I don't know if it's like a sleeper agent or if like how he even got from the Black Lion to there, if maybe this is, they took like, I don't know, like his consciousness and put it in a fake Shiro like dummy kind of thing, or if this is just him and he got teleported like Keith was saying in the next episode. I don't know what's going on, but I think it's going to be cool and dramatic.
If it's a life model decoy, sorry for the Marvel terminology, but if it's a life model decoy or something like that, that would explain why the Black Lion doesn't respond to him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, right? Because he probably was like, maybe it would explain why the Black Lion picked up on his thoughts. But it doesn't really, because if he's in the lion, then he should pick up on his thoughts. But maybe actually physically being with Shiro, the lion realized it wasn't him, or I don't know.
The lions are
elusive and have their own agenda anyway, we've established.
I think the lions we have established are toxic.
Yeah.
Like, if we're talking about toxic characters right now, the lions. Like, I say this in all seriousness, like... They talk about, have a good relationship with your lion. The relationships the paladins have with the lions are not healthy relationships. And, like, we could talk about this. They're not healthy. Like, even between, like, semi-sentient, robotic life forms and sentient people, like, this is not healthy. You want, like, this in a healthy way? The Iron Giant, Japanese Iron Giant, also known as Gargantuan Diverterous Planet, Marvel's version of the Iron Giant with Justin and his Sentinel. Like, we've seen this done in, like, a healthy, symbiotic kind of relationship where it's like, you teach me to be strong and I teach you what it means to be human. And, like, we've seen this done.
The lions don't seem interested in that.
No, the lions, it's they're not healthy relationship. Like, I worry because we know so far two of the original paladins. We know we're Zarkon and the King. Mm-hmm. I'm so worried we're going to find out that, like, the yellow paladin just went insane because of his lion. Like,
I know, we haven't heard from them, so you never know. We don't know what happened.
I mean, they may have just, you know, died at the end of their natural lives or whatever. But I'm so worried that one of them just went insane because of the lions.
I know.
Because in the original show, the lions were not this, like, menacing. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but the lions scare me at times.
I know, same. I wonder if they'll get into that, or maybe we're just, like, being paranoid, but I don't know.
I've also been reading science fiction, like, really dark science fiction all week, so my mind's just already in a place of I don't trust anything.
Yeah.
Not even my own
AI
mind.
AI is the enemy kind of thing.
So let's talk Tailing the Comet, now that I've expressed my fear of our new robot overlords.
Yeah.
Yeah, death is a lion, I'm telling you. It's coming in the shape of a lion. So, tailing the comment, oh, God, this had some good character moments.
Like, it really did.
I wish Delaney was here, because there was such a good Clance moment.
Oh, the Clance. Oh, it was out of this world. It was so, like, not subtle at all.
I'm
like,
sitting
I don't
here,
understand,
like,
how you can't pick it up on it.
I'm just sitting here, just kiss already.
I know, that little look before he walked away.
There were two moments I thought we were getting a kiss in this episode, and that's the Clance scene and that Shiro Keith scene towards the end.
Same. Totally, like, I was the exact same.
I was really, like, they are just really, like, laying
so get
on.
Get a room, you two. Come on.
Also, yeah. Though, before we get into all my gays, I like that Hunk is smart all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, he's had that character trait before, but it was really on play here today. I like that, because it's not just, like, the bumbling goofball who likes food.
It's not just about food. Like, seeing Hunk and Pidge have a little nerd moment together was so adorable.
I know. I like, everyone else is just like, what did you just say?
Lance was perfect. I don't understand a word either of them said in the last 5 minutes. Like, just that scene was great. Just,
it was.
Hunk and Pidge don't get enough love. And that scene was great.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, it was a nice little, I guess, now that they're all properly back together, or maybe not, depending on what Shiro's ulterior ego is. But they had a good kind of rekindling of the group and interesting interactions from that. That was really nice, this episode.
Yeah, this was...
See them working together.
This was such a good episode. And Allura was kind of in the background in this episode. She popped up, like, once or twice, but she kind of stepped back, and I think that's okay, because she's been... I think we got a good bit of Allura development already this season. It's alright to push her aside for, like, an episode, because we needed this Keith, Shiro, Lance moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what this episode was all about, really, was those three.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
Oh, so good. Where do you want to start with this episode? Do you want to start with the leadership dynamic, or do you want to start with the ship?
Well, maybe leadership in terms of, like, how the episode ran through.
Okay.
It started with that.
So, yeah, so we see, Keith trying to defer leadership to Shiro at the beginning of the episode, and he's kind of... This is actually a really interesting progression, because the episode starts, Keith is willing to defer leadership to Shiro, be it talking to the team, piloting the Black Lion, but once the Lion recognizes Keith, he stops deferring leadership to Shiro. That's the moment when it switches.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was neat, and kind of made sense, I guess, because Keith is starting to think that he's not just... I guess that there's, like, validity to him being the leader.
Yeah,
so just him filling in the gap while he's away.
Yeah, he's not just the interim leader anymore. Like, the Lion accepting him proved that he's the leader now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was definitely an interesting switch in the dynamic. Because then whenever Shiro tried to suggest something, Keith kind of shut him out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas before that, Keith was like, Shiro, you will do whatever you say. You're the real leader.
Yeah, no, he showed some... He ended up, in the end, kind of going with what Shiro said most of the time, but then had his own little moments, which I thought were good. I wonder how this is going to play out later on, especially if Shiro ends up being in a Lion somehow, too, which I wonder if he will be.
I have a theory what's going to happen with Shiro by the end of Season 4. No, it's nothing bad, but, yeah, we'll get there. But yeah, cool. I'm curious to see what happens with that whole dynamic. But, again, I'm telling you, he let the Lion's decision guide his life and put his team at risk. Like, their reliance on these Lions is not healthy.
I know. But, yeah, they ultimately decide everyone's roles in the group.
Yeah.
But maybe the Lions are protecting them. Because maybe Shiro is, like, the sleeper agent, like we were saying. And he could get in there and mess things up somehow if he had power over it, right?
Yeah. So
never
we
know.
See, we see, I think the Lance Keith moment might be my favorite in this episode. Just, wow, that is, I'm not used to getting real emotion out of Lance. It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little bit earlier this season with the, all of a sudden, you be the Black Lion. Like, that felt a bit rushed. This felt natural. For Lance. And this was just such a good moment where he's like, I've done the math, someone's gonna have to step aside, and I think it should be me.
I know. I feel like that it was a really sincere moment from him.
And it built off nicely from him seeing Allura earlier in the episode. Because, like, we saw Allura doing really well with his Bayard. We saw just kind of Lance realize how good Allura had gotten. And I think that set up that scene very nicely.
It did. Yeah, I think that was a good little character moment. And it also, at the same time, helped us as an audience who are also probably doing the math and are like, what is going to happen here? Try and, I guess, kind of explain what was going through the characters' minds about that. And Keith seems pretty confident that he's not going anywhere, but I wonder. I think Lance is going to stay in a lion. I think Shira is going to be the most kind of moving around character. If he ever gets a lion, we'll find out. But yeah, I really liked that moment. And it was so, like, it was so much Clance. It was insane. They were just, like, looking at each other the whole time. And
the composition
really
of those frames was gorgeous.
Yeah, right? I know. It was crazy. I know. At the end, I was like, whoa, like, are they actually doing this? Because I feel like it was like a legitimate romantic scene, kind of.
Like, I really expected more to start happening. Especially when, like, Keith took his jacket off. No, that was in the scene. Was it that scene or was that with Shiro? Keith took a jacket off at some point, and I really thought something was going to happen there. I'm like, I'm like, yes, we have been waiting for you.
I didn't notice, but I'm sure.
Oh, I noticed.
But yeah, I'm sure you did.
I've been waiting. 3 seasons. the leadership dynamics in this episode were great, of Keith kind of accepting, and then, like, he was willing to give Shira the leadership, but as soon as Shira gave that up, Keith was not willing to listen anymore. I think that was just a really interesting dynamic, and I think that Keith made the right calls in the episode, because I could see definitely you want to stop Lotor, because if you stop Lotor, it doesn't matter if they have the Teledove.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and it was also kind of a win-win, lose-lose type of answer, too, because they ended up, if Keith hadn't done the thing that he'd done, they would have been, like, really injured.
Yeah.
But he found a way around it, which was good.
Dodging the beam, I thought was very clever.
Yeah, and then I think it was smart having Shira have the moment where he's like, you gotta pick your battles, man, and offering that kind of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated during their Keith and Shiro's little moment at the end, how Keith didn't get all angry and defensive at Shiro, which I thought was good, especially as like a leadership kind of thing. And because I didn't want a rehashing of him getting all defensive and like, I'm the boss now and everything. So I thought that was good. And it continued with what their relationship has been established to be, where Keith really respects Shiro and respects his opinion. And isn't just trying to like dominate him, which I thought was good.
All right. So the Paladins to me were the second most interesting part of this episode. Everything else was so much better, though. Like,
yes,
the Paladins were good. But what is going on with Lotor? What is he doing and why is he doing these things? Like,
and we got to see his squad, like, really fight again, which was really nice. You know, because we haven't really seen that since, what, like, episode 2, I guess?
So why is Lotor attacking Galra? No, he's not. It's his generals. Why are his generals attacking Galran bases for him?
Like, I have no idea. I honestly have no idea.
And Lotor, like, doesn't, because Lotor could have just taken it in theory, but he didn't. And then that scene at the end where he's, like, standing outside the chamber as Hagar attacks the dude was just menacing.
I don't know. And I wouldn't put anything past her, but I feel like, based on that scene, Hagar didn't have a guess that he was really what happened.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I think she believed him.
So, I think there had been a theory that one of the generals was the one that fought, or that, like, was with Keith last season?
Yeah.
In the Weblum? Yeah. I knew that had been a theory. I guess it was nice to get official confirmation on that. Good job, theorists who spotted that.
Yeah, we noticed that her outfit, her spacesuit, was basically the same as the Weblum person.
This is why I love fandoms, because we remember spacesuit colors from a season ago. Like
the lines match up.
Theories, man. You gotta love them.
Oh, they're everywhere.
But this one came true, and I was really happy that it came through. But the generals scare me.
I know.
They really
do. They're awesome, though. They're so awesome. I love them. Yeah. No, so, they're really cool.
We have no clue what Lotor's doing. But whatever it is, it's probably not good.
I would assume so.
Let's talk about the ship. The Comet Voltron ship thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it can have at least two pilots. After what we saw. We know that, like, the arm things can, like, move. Mm-hmm. It looked for a second like it was going to transform. Does the ship transform into a robot-esque thing?
I feel like it should, just based on it being made in the same way that Voltron's made. Like, I feel like maybe this is only one part of it that we've seen, perhaps. And he's got other ones that he's working on with the rest of the Comet, or this turns into something else too, because that seems to be kind of a hallmark of Voltron, is there's like secret hidden powers and secret transformations and things. So I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't the whole thing.
Because I will stand by that, you know, we do have Lotor and then four others. That's five.
Exactly.
That's enough. Like, if you want Dark Voltron.
Yeah.
Like, and my Dark Voltron theory stems from Power Rangers, of villains having their own Megazords and fighting. I've never seen a full, like, five-on-five, and I think that'd be a unique innovation to the kind of the mech genre that we haven't seen yet. So I for one, am hyped for that, because I think that that would potentially open up the doors for other franchises, too. Like, if Voltron does that, I could see, like, Power Rangers doing that at some point, and I want that, so.
I think it's going to be something like that, maybe.
I'm still on Team Dark Voltron.
Me too. I think it would be good. Oh, and I just thought of something that with the, sorry to backtrack, but the about the Teledove, that why Lotar is taking it, because Allura was saying, she's like, oh, he has to have an Altain with him to make it work. And then she was saying, like, oh, it would be Hagar. But I am a little confused by that Allura's theory, because as we know, Hagar doesn't seem to know that Lotor was trying to get the Teledove. And if he needs an Altain, then he'd need her in on the plan.
But is that what he wanted? Or was there something else on that base?
It seemed like he wanted that. I think that base was meant to kind of, like, keep that, and then maybe they'll study it or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know if he wants it to make another wormhole or what. I literally have no clue, but... I wonder if Hagar will be involved or not.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how that goes. So here's my Shiro season 4 theory. Whatever, if this ship is all of it, like if there's other ships, I don't know, but if it's just this ship and this is what becomes Dark Voltron, Shiro ends up piloting this by the end of season 4. This becomes Shiro's vehicle.
I'm down for that, because can't have him just being back on the bay, like on the castle the whole time. That's pointless.
We pull a sixth ranger. Shiro gets his own special Megazord all on his own. He gets his own Voltron. I think that's gonna happen at some point. I predict by the end of season 4. I don't know, but yeah, I think looking like the moment we saw it and even the dark color scheme, I'm like, that's what Shiro's gonna pilot. That is Shiro's.
I'm down. I like that theory.
I'm hype on that. So, before we get into Lotor original series discussion and where we're possibly going in the future, do you have anything else you want to talk about of what we saw?
No, I'm just really happy, and I'm really hyped for the next episode and everything that's going to come from this, because I think they've got some really neat plot things that they set up for themselves. And also, I'm so down for, like, Dark Voltron and stuff, and Dark Shiro. That would be so cool.
I'm very on Team Dark Voltron. Like, I'm beyond hype. As someone who gets really excited on Sixth Rangers and Power Rangers, and who's staring at multiple toys he has of the Sixth Rangers, and an autographed copy of the original Sixth Ranger at the moment, like, I'm very happy.
And I think you might be on board for that theory.
I might have a bias towards, like, the Sixth Ranger role. So,
just a little bit.
Just a little. So if you haven't seen the original Voltron and you don't want to know anything about it in case of potential spoilers, stop listening now. We're done talking about those two episodes. Again, I have only seen up through episode 6 of season 3. I have no clue if any of this is going to happen in Legendary Defender. All I know is this is what happened in the original 80s show. It could happen. It may not. If you don't want to run that risk and you haven't seen it, tune out. Thank you guys for listening. If you're curious, keep listening, especially if you've seen the original, because I want to know your opinions. So, Lotor in the original series, and I'm not going to get into the things that I feel are going to be soon. I'm not going to explain how this ends up happening, but Lotor ends up with this really creepy crush on Allura in the original show.
That's weird.
Yeah, and the Lotor in this series has been a lot more nuanced, and so I feel they're not going to go quite with this direction, which is why I'm okay talking about it. But yeah, it gets creepy where he, like, tries to force Allura to marry him, and he just gets this obsession with her being his princess, and it doesn't feel like it would fit the tone of the show. And Lotor, the original, was, he was still kind of the more nuanced compared to Zarkon, but he was a lot more over the top than he is now. So with this kind of nuanced Lotor, do you think we could still see that kind of a storyline?
I wonder. I haven't even really thought about Lotor and Allura interactions, but I think I could see him maybe having some sort of interest in her, maybe not romantically, but, like, I guess controlling her, and especially if she has all this quintessence power too, right? He might want to do something with that, but I don't know. I do want to see them interact. I think it'd be kind of interesting.
I almost feel guilty for mentioning this movie. Have you seen Jupiter Ascending?
Oh yeah. Oh man, I have.
I'm sorry.
And it was in kind of incredible. Okay. Like, just in terms of how terrible it was.
Okay, it's a pretty movie. It's a really pretty movie.
It's a very
movie.
Pretty movie. Are you thinking about Jupiter and her, like, kind of son getting married? Is that what you're thinking?
It's not what it sounds like, folks. But, yes.
Go watch it. It's a
yeah,
blast.
Like, Eddie Redmayne's character trying to propose to her because, like, he wanted to control the... I could see them pulling in Eddie Redmayne and Lotor, like, proposing to being like, I'm not like my father. I'm good. Da-da-da. Peace. Marry me, Allura. Yeah. And Allura's somehow like, okay. But Lotor's like, yes, marry me. I will steal your quintessence from your body.
Yeah. They are both, like, royals, right? So it kind of makes sense. But, yeah, I don't know. I can't believe you brought up Jupiter Ascending.
I'm sorry. It was the best comparison I could make.
It is. No, it is a good comparison. Space princesses and princesses. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense.
I will scream about this to anyone who will listen, so I will take 2 seconds. They spent... I work in After Effects. I know how long this took. They created these beautiful angel wings. That took hours, if not weeks. And they all that time and effort on making angel wings for that movie, they wasted it on a butt grab.
Yep.
That is what they used the angel wings effect for. A butt grab, and that was it. Like, the amount of fury I had towards that movie, not even just for its plot, but for its waste of beautiful effects is never ending.
And I think that alone summarizes that movie. But yeah.
Watch the Honest trailer, it's a riot.
It is.
But yeah, so I don't think we'll get the same kind of over the top Lotor as far as I have to marry Princess Allura. Mm-hmm. I don't see him doing it because they've done such a good job of Lotor's character, and this is why I was so nervous about season 3. When they announced Lotor showing up, I'm like, great, creepy stalker is here.
Mm-hmm.
But they've handled him so much better so far, and I don't want them to screw it up.
No, I could definitely, I do think I could see some sort of weird attachment he has to Allura, though. But maybe not as stalkery, more as, like, power hungry.
And preferably less, you know, creepy harassment, like... It's not
yeah,
the
80s. Be nice.
You gotta keep in mind, the original was made in the 80s. People didn't think of that as much, especially in kid shows. Especially male-geared kid shows. Now we kind of, we stop and pay a little more attention to that. And so I think,
yeah,
especially knowing who's making the show, like...
I
trust them that if they go down, even if they start going down this route, I'm not going to write it off, because I know that if they're going down this route, they have a reason. And they're going to
do
something
interesting. Maybe they do it, but they do it in a way that she, like, joins on as part of his squad kind of thing, too. Like, because he's somehow convinced all of them to join him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he has something that would make Allura want to join him. Now, I don't think she would, necessarily, unless there's, like, some crazy extreme pressure thing happens, but I don't know, maybe something like that.
Have you seen Young Justice yet, Haley?
No, not yet.
There's a thing that happens in the show where there's a time skip, and then someone that we thought was a hero is now a villain, and they turn out to be a double agent.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I could see that happening. There's a time skip on Voltron, the Paladins are fighting, and then there's Allura fighting alongside Lotor's generals, and we're just all like, what?
That'd be cool.
And I'll get Shiro back in a lion, but...
But I want him to be Dark Voltron, or Dark Shiro.
Dark Voltron! But yeah, if they go this route, I'm gonna have to trust them, because they've earned my trust. Mm-hmm. Like, I know these writers aren't going to be terrible about a plot like that.
And no, they'll do it well.
Yeah. Like, I don't always trust that, like, with Voltron, I haven't always trusted them so far with, like... You know, remembering all the characters that are there and not, like, giving Pidge a plot. Like, but when it comes to something like that, I feel like, you know, we're talking about writers who give us one of the earliest LGBTQ representation in animation. As far as Western, you know, kid-geared, not kids, but kid-geared animation. They're not going to make this plot super creepy and, like, not... If it's creepy... They will want us to be creeped out, not, like, accidental creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they know what they're doing, and if they get into this plot, they know what they're dealing with, and I think they'll handle it very well.
Mm-hmm. Just another interesting thing that could happen. Oh, man.
So much. Next season's going to be fantastic. All right. Then that does it for us. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can find all the information on this podcast at overlyanimated.com. If you feel like it, you can support us via Patreon at patreon.com/overlyanimated. Thank you to all of our current patrons, especially our patron of the podcast, Steve, a.k.a. Frequent Commenter Steve. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon executive producers, John, Ryan, Steve, Alex, and Andy. Coming up, we will have more Rick and Morty coverage, and soon we will have our finale coverage of Voltron Season 3.
Woohoo!
Woo! And then we got shows coming back in September, into October, and November. Yeah, in 2 months, come back for Season 4 of Voltron. So, that does it for us. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you next time. Bye!
Bye!